It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Today I had a great chat with the Green Party co-leader James Shaw on the Scrapped Resource Management Act, Waiheke Island's housing crisis, the huge support for the conversion therapy ban petition, and also the vaccine rollout, which commenced over the weekend. We started by talking about the Scrapped Resource Management Act, which is going to be replaced by three new pieces of legislation. And I began by asking, what was it about the Act that didn't work well with the problems that contemporary Aotearoa is facing?
Well, over the course of the last 30 years, the Resource Management Act has doubled in size. In fact, I think it's more than doubled in size, and it's now really unwieldy and internally self-contradictory. And for anyone familiar with the housing crisis, there's a critique that the kind of processes that are outlined in the RMA are part of the reason why it's really hard to get enough housing built in the country. At the same time, it's designed to protect the environment. And of course, if you look at what's happened to the environment over the course of the last 30 years, things have gotten worse rather than better. So you could say that it hasn't really done the job. I have to say, absent the Resource Management Act, things probably would be even worse than they were without it. A couple of years ago, David Parker, who's the Environment Minister, said, look, everybody hates this thing. It's not achieving the objectives that it was designed to do. It's now really unwieldy, and got a group together to, take a sort of a blank sheet of paper approach, and they recommended the three acts that we're going to replace it with.
So you will be responsible for the Climate Change Adaptation Act. How do you balance protecting our natural environment and also building more houses and apartments which are necessary to mitigate our housing crisis?
Well, I think that those two things are different from, they're obviously related to the Adaptation Act, but the Adaptation Act is really about how we respond to the effects of climate change that are unavoidable and already locked in. In terms of the two primary pieces of legislation, I think the idea is that we want to strengthen the environmental bottom lines to say, look, there are some planetary boundaries which, if you cross them, will lead to ecosystem collapse. And obviously that's bad for people as well as for the planet. And at the same time, to have a kind of a simpler and smoother process for consenting and planning, and the idea is to kind of really make that a much more straightforward process.
We can't really talk about land or resources without mentioning Te Tiriti o Waitangi. How will these three new acts that are replacing the Resource Management Act honour Te Tiriti and recognise tikanga Māori?
Well, again, so I'm saying a lot of this without the legislation having not actually been written yet, so some of these things aren't fully baked in yet. But the idea here is we also want to modernise the way that, the legislation takes into account Te Tiriti o Waitangi. And my understanding of where it's at is this idea, and this is going to sound like legalese, because it is, but the idea is that we want to, the new piece of legislation to give effect to the principles of Waitangi as opposed to have regard to. Now, a law student might get the distinction, most normal people might not, but the idea is that's actually a stronger piece of language to say that actually what we want to make sure is that the Te Tiriti is actually coming to life through the decisions that this Act enables rather than just being one of a number of considerations.
I'd like to move now to homelessness and the housing crisis on Waiheke Island. And usually when we think of Waiheke, we think of it as an idyllic getaway with wine and beaches. But in reality, the increased popularity of Waiheke is pushing some of the locals out and making renting too expensive and in some cases forcing them to move off the island where they've lived for nearly their whole lives. Waiheke local board chairperson Kath Handley said that they were aware of the housing issue on the island, but that their hands were tied and they didn't have the tools to solve the problem. Do you think that's accurate? And what tools would you offer to solve the problem of the housing crisis on Waiheke Island?
Look, I haven't seen the full clip of what it is that she said, but what I imagine she's talking about is the fact that as part of the Auckland Council, they have to come within the Auckland Unitary Plan. And I know that there is a kind of a movement on Waiheke to say, well, look, they do have some unusual circumstances there and want to be able to make more of those decisions locally. You'd probably better to ask the new Auckland Central MP, Chloe Swarbrick, exactly what that looked like, because it's her electorate, not mine. But, I mean, this is a wholly unsurprising situation, given that we've allowed this kind of extraordinary growth in wealth inequality to occur. And, of course, when in the sort of post-colonial era, Waiheke was settled, it was quite difficult for people to get to, right? So it was, because it was remote, generally that kind of distance meant that some of the gentrification that you saw in the inner city suburbs of downtown Auckland didn't take place until quite recently, when access became a lot more doable and people, you know, wanted to move out there for the kind of beautiful white sand beaches. Property prices, of course, have gone up and up and up. And it's no surprise that people who, you know, families that have been there for a long time found themselves in a situation where they're then getting squeezed as this demand for high-end beachfront property has really picked up, along with all the attendant rise in other prices around the edges of that.
What's happening on Waiheke highlights the tough balance to manage wanting to boost our tourism market, but it being at the cost of the locals. And with COVID-19, there has been a huge push for New Zealanders to travel safely within our own country and enjoy what we have to offer. But the fact that Waiheke is becoming so popular and what some have called a quote-unquote a millionaire's paradise is why the locals are now finding themselves unable to support the lifestyle they've always known. Local tourism to boost our economy is very important, and it's also great fun for us to enjoy. But how do we make sure it's not at the detriment of the locals themselves, like what we're seeing on Waiheke?
Well, you've got to remember that's not all tourism, right? That's one of the reasons why it's called a millionaire's paradise, is because very high net worth people and families are putting family homes there, and so you're seeing this extraordinary runaway increase in land values and property prices there, and often people are buying kind of old batches for $1 million or more, because the land is worth far more than the building that's on it, and so that's less to, I mean, I know that there is a significant tourism industry on Waiheke Island, but that's only part of the issue there.
Well, I'd like to move now to the petition spokesperson for the Rainbow Communities and other great things, Dr. Elizabeth Kerikeri, launched just over a week ago to ban conversion therapy in Aotearoa. It's reached over 150,000 signatures. Did you and the Greens expect this response so quickly?
No. Look, we were delighted, but also, well, I might say that we were very pleasantly surprised. You never know these things, which one's going to kind of catch the public imagination and go viral, but this one really did catch us by surprise. It's one of the largest online petitions ever, and we're absolutely delighted with the response.
When you go to the Green Party website where people can sign this petition, it says that you need 175,000 signatures. What happens when you reach that number?
Well, what we're trying to do is to get it to be, as I said, one of the largest petitions of all time, and to make it absolutely impossible to ignore. And so what we're saying is, look, the more of you that can sign up to this thing, the better this is going to go.
Is there still time for people to sign the petition?
Yes, it's still open, but we won't keep it open for too much longer. So if you're thinking about it and haven't yet done it, please sign on now.
And just quickly to wrap up, I'd like to talk about the vaccination program, which officially started over the weekend against COVID-19, with border protection workers being some of the first to be vaccinated. Does this give you hope that we may now be out of the eye of the storm of COVID-19 now that we have started vaccinating our population?
Yes, it does. But I do want to qualify that to say I don't think that you'll see what we used to describe as normality return any time in the immediate future. It's going to take a while to vaccinate the vast majority of the population, and also, you know, once, you know, to have open borders again, we really do need to ensure that most of the rest of the world is also vaccinated as well. And so that's why we're putting quite a lot of effort into the international effort to vaccinate or to get the vaccine around the world, particularly to the Pacific Islands as our closest neighbours.
You only have to look at the comments of Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern's Instagram or a news article on Facebook to see that some people are very sceptical or utterly against the vaccine. According to RNZ, a quarter of people say that they would refuse to take it. Are there any plans to get them on side?
I don't know the answer to that question, sorry. I would imagine that, you know, we've had an enormous communications campaign running ever since the outbreak of the virus, and in particular the kind of quite radical measures that we had to take in order to prevent the virus from spreading inside Aotearoa. And so I would imagine that there will be an extension of that communications plan to deal with the vaccine as well. I have to say, you know, one of the really sad things about the virus has been the impact that misinformation has been spread through, in particular, social media, and the reaction that has been generated in parts of the population. And so I think it's really important that if people want to stay safe and they want to keep each other safe, if they want to keep their, you know, grandparents and their children safe, that it is important that they get vaccinated.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.